In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 10 men who had leprosy, that terrible disease, cried out to Jesus the Christ, "Master, have mercy on us." And he did have mercy on them. He told them to go and show themselves to the priest, and they obeyed him. Why did he tell them to go and show themselves to the priest? Well, it's because at that time, if you had leprosy and you wanted to be considered as cleansed of leprosy, that the disease had remitted and gone away, it was to the priest that you had to go in order to receive the blessing to go out and live amongst other people as someone who no longer had the disease of leprosy. And so that's why Jesus told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 were cleansed. But only one, when he realized that he had been healed by Jesus the Christ, our Lord, turned and glorified God and returned to Christ and fell down at his feet and gave him thanks. The other 9, although their bodies were healed, inwardly they were still leprous. They had no gratitude, no thanks to give to God for this cleansing of their bodies. And so, even though their bodies were cleansed and healed of leprosy, they were not whole. But the one who returned, he was declared whole by Jesus the Christ. We can think of the fall in the garden by the first parents, Adam and Eve, as a fall from gratitude, a fall from thankfulness, a fall from continuing to return love to God, as the love that God gave them by way of their creation and sustaining their life was not returned. They turned away from him and sought to live on their own. There is a sin that is in our day no longer considered a sin. We teach it to our children in schools. It's considered essential. St. John Cassian numbers that sin 7th in the list of 8 vices. And this is before the time when there was an official list of 7 sins and 7 virtues. It was earlier than that. In his list, there were 8. Number 8 was pride. But the one before that, he called the younger brother of pride, kinodoxia. Kinodoxia, that is the Greek word that is best translated as self-esteem. It's generally translated in Scripture as vainglory. But the best translation for that word is self-esteem. Self-esteem for no reason. Simply self-esteem. Today, it's considered something that everyone ought to have, regardless of their moral or spiritual condition. Self-esteem is taught as an essential. If it is thoroughly learned, it leads to a sense of isolation. It leads to a baseless sense of superiority to others. It leads to a sense that we need no one by ourselves. We esteem ourselves so highly. Satan had high esteem for himself, and he taught self-esteem to Adam and Eve. Now they deserved, as we all deserve, because we are created in the image and likeness of God, to have high regard for the fact that we are created in the image of God and are meant to be like him. And if we have high regard for the fact that we are created in the image of God, then our effort will be to be worthy of that fact. But if we esteem ourselves simply for no reason, simply because we believe that we are better than others, that we are higher than others, we have no need of others, then we are cut off from others, from God, and from any sense of the spiritual reality and nature of ourselves as we actually are. We are created by God. We are not created by mindless nature. Bishop Nikolai Velimirovic emphasizes this when he examines and thinks about the fact that this miracle that Jesus Christ performed for those who were suffering from leprosy is a great lesson in gratitude. On the one hand, the gratitude of the one who returned, and ingratitude, the ingratitude of the nine who were bodily healed and went on their way and had no sense of gratitude and did not turn around, did not repent of their sense that they had no need to give thanks. Bishop Nikolai emphasizes that we should recall that we are not created by the mindless universe, but that we are created by the most wise God. We are not the playthings of chance, he says, but creatures of him who created our elder brethren, the angels and archangels. God created spiritual beings, angelic beings, angels and archangels. And it was one of those archangels who in pride did not return thanks to God, but fell instead into this kenodoxia, self-esteem. He fell into a condition of vanity and placed himself above God himself and all of the other angels created by God. And he tempted Adam and Eve into that same vanity. We are created by the most wise God, and we have a relationship to him without which we cannot be the human beings that he created us to be. He created us to sustain us from his own wisdom, from his own humility. There is no vanity, no pride in God. There is no vanity in Christ. Jesus, after the man returns to him, gives him his blessing. The man has fallen down at his feet in thankfulness. And Jesus tells the man, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. We have lost the original Christian understanding of what Jesus is saying when he tells a man, your faith has made you whole. Sometimes Jesus heals simply out of compassion. We've had examples of that recently. He doesn't require faith of the person that he heals sometimes. In this case, after having healed the 10, when one of the 10 comes back, he tells the man, your faith has made you whole. But the man was already healed in body. The wholeness of which Jesus Christ speaks refers to more than just his bodily healing. Saint Nikolai points this out to us. And in order to understand what Saint Nikolai is saying, we might need to make an adjustment in our understanding of what we have seen in this healing. He says, see the greatness of the Lord's humility and his gentleness. It is a joy to him to call men fellow workers in his great good works. He desires to raise the dignity of the humiliated and subjected human race high above human pride and vanity. He desires to share his glory. And so he says, thy faith has made you whole. Now, is it the man's faith all by itself that has made him whole? The 10 had faith in Christ. Their faith didn't heal them, much less make them whole. Jesus means something in particular by saying this. Bishop Nicolai explains that it is Christ, the incarnate Son of God, God himself incarnate, who provides the vast portion of what it takes to heal this man. He compares it to a wagon load of grains of wheat. And he says that Christ has provided the whole wagon load of the grain of wheat when it comes to his divinity and his authority to be able to heal the man. But the man himself has had one grain of wheat that he has thrown onto the wagon and thereby has participated in his healing. And that is the grain of his gratitude, humility, thankfulness. And Jesus Christ values that one grain that the man has freely cast upon the wagon more than all of the grains of wheat that made up the whole wagon load of wheat. And he is referring to the man's portion, to the human portion that we can contribute to our own making whole of ourselves, which we certainly cannot do without God's grace, without his divine authority and power. But Christ, God, wants us to be able to participate. He wants to raise us up above our human pride and vanity. And by the humility of thankfulness and gratitude, the man contributes when he returns that free contribution of that one grain of faith and thankfulness. That is what has made him whole. Not simply cleaned in body, but also cleaned inwardly. Unlike those who did not return, who simply took the cleansing of their bodies and went their way and forgot about God. If it were a human being, unlike Christ, we would say, if we had contributed the large amount to some great project, and others had contributed a bit here and there, and were part, but a very small part, we would say, I have given this to you. Sometimes when we give alms, we feel like those alms are coming from me. We give no credit to God. We give no credit to our society or all of the opportunity that we have because we live in a particular place and a particular time. And there are particular opportunities that we have that we did not create. Instead, we consider anything that we accomplish to be our own. And if we give to others, or support our children even, if we are vain and not mainly concerned about raising them to have gratitude to God, but we think, I am giving this to those who have not earned it because of my having built a life myself, we would not do as Christ did with the man. Jesus Christ, who had given all of the grain of that wagon load, and the man had contributed one grain. And Jesus' concern was mainly for the participation, the free participation on the part of the man in his own healing, not just externally, but inwardly as well. In our concern for others, our children, or those in need that we give alms to, if we would be like Christ, our concern would be for their participation in whatever way that we have aided or helped those who come to us. We wouldn't fall into the vanity of false glory, kenodoxa, self-esteem, a literal translation of kenodoxa, is empty glory. Glory with nothing in it. No reason for it. When we glorify God, we glorify God because he is the Holy One who has created heaven and earth and all living things, including ourselves. The glory that we give to God is glory that God deserves as the Lord. But empty glory, self-esteem that has no reason for it, because we are not the creators, we are not the source. We are those who participate. We are the creatures of God, created by Him. We are no greater than any others. By comparison with our Lord, who is perfect, with a perfection that not the greatest saints ever reach, by comparison with our Lord, all of us are equals. Only by comparing ourselves with one another and focusing on ourselves as though I were the center of the universe, can we come to a conclusion that I am better than that one. That one is not as good as me. But the lie is that we are depending on kenodoxia, empty glory, self-esteem, a kind of self-glorification. It is only the fallen angel who indulges in that empty glory. And so Christ teaches us his humility and his concern to raise us up by our participation in the great work of salvation that he does. When he returns, the Samaritan is grateful. He gives his gratitude to Christ. Bishop Nicolai says this to all of us: let all who conceal another's grain of merit and lay emphasis on their own wagon load, draw near in shame and learn from Christ the righteous one. They are no less robbers and thieves than the rich man who adds the poor man's tiny field to his own vast acres. Let all the generals who conceal the part their soldiers have placed in the victory and spread abroad the fame of their own merit, draw near in shame and learn from Christ the true one. Let all engaged in commerce and industry who play down the merits of their success that belongs to their workers and helpers and ascribe this entirely to their own zeal, wisdom, and luck, draw near in shame and learn from Christ, the humble one. Finally, let the whole human race, who in their proud blindness ascribe all good, all skill, all success to themselves alone, and conceal or forget God's enormous share in it all, draw near in shame and learn from Christ, the lover of mankind. Let them draw near and learn how the true God does not conceal a single grain of man's merit in the great wagon load of his merit, but on the contrary conceals and keeps quiet about his own, emphasizing that of men. He who has a sense of shame will be ashamed before the humility of Christ. He who has one spark of unextinguished conscience will repent of his vulgar and stupid self-congratulation and self-display and will become grateful to God and men. And gratitude will teach him truthfulness, righteousness, and humility. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.